Hey everyone, and welcome to this Family Tree podcast. The baby is in bed, and I'm glad you're able to join Shane and I for happy hour as we discuss raising kids, parenthood, and everything in between. So welcome everybody. I am Alex from This Family Tree. This is my husband Shane. You may recognize him. So right now, this is just This Family Tree podcast, better name, TBA, but that is what we're going to go with as of now. So before we really get into it, we are going to keep this pretty loose. Today, I just wanted to introduce myself, introduce Shane, our story, and then...
How we fell in love?
How we fell in love, nice. Perhaps.
Yeah.
We do have wine going, guys. This is
my...
Cheers. Yeah, bad luck.
To true love.
If you don't look in somebody's eyes, it's bad luck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So this is my first podcast. I am comfortable talking to everybody on Instagram every day. Shane is the podcast aficionado in the family. So he is here as my life support and for the male perspective as we talk all things kind of motherhood, marriage, children, everything.
Et cetera,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, I am Alex. I started This Family Tree just over a year ago when I was about 7 months pregnant with my daughter, Lucy. I had a really tough pregnancy. I have lupus. So my entire pregnancy, all the symptoms that you typically experience were exacerbated by my autoimmune disease. So really tough time. Having Lucy, I've been feeling really good. My disease has kind of been at bay. And that's just been a whole other, let me see, I don't know where I'm going there.
Well, it's been a whole other experience for you.
It has been. No, and since having Lucy, it's been a whole other experience connecting with moms, connecting with you guys via This Family Tree. And it's been a ton of fun. I've been learning so much from you guys, and I hope that you've been learning something from me too. That's why I do put this all out there. But I'm excited to kind of open up this new venture and get into the podcasting world, which I know nothing about, you know a lot about.
Yeah, we've covered that part. Let's go here. Let's go through this. What do we want to talk about? We're a married couple from Hamilton.
Why don't you talk about your podcast? Introduce yourself.
Well, I work for the Mike on Much podcast. It's out of Toronto. But really, that's not why people are here. They're here for the...
Well, they can know you too.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So why don't we get to our story? Because that is something since the since my Instagram account started when I was 7 months pregnant, we kind of missed out on our backstory, and I don't really get into that much. But Shane and I have been married for 2 years.
Yeah.
It'll be our third wedding anniversary this summer. And we got engaged after seven months of dating, married after about 12 months of dating, and had Lucy 2 years after that. Right? We had her on our second?
Yeah. And I met you through Tinder.
Kind of.
Yeah.
We met 5 years before we started dating on the set of an Arkells video shoot. And Arkells are a band from Hamilton, Ontario, where we're from.
They're probably Canada's biggest band now. In fact, at the Junos, which is like the Grammys of Canada, they won Group of the Year.
Well, sadly, I think after Gord passed, I think they definitely took the spot.
Yeah, well, let's just celebrate the positive things here.
Of course. But so we met on the shoot for one of those videos. It's called Where You Goin'. So Shane was directing it, and it was a really low-budget video. I don't know why it was low-budget, but they couldn't afford real actresses or actors. So they got me, who was just a random person that they knew, to be in it.
Well, how it worked was Max is the lead singer, and since it was such a low-budget video, we didn't have money to do a traditional casting. So Max just sent me pictures of, can I say hot babes? And I got to pick the babe that I thought would be the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw you and I said, this is the babe we're gonna go with.
Romantic. And
so anyway, I had a girlfriend at the time. So on set, I didn't really, there wasn't a lot of flirtation going on. I don't even think I spoke to you.
I did not speak to you at all.
Yeah, it was a co-direction job, so I kind of spoke through the director I was co-directing with. And then a couple of years went by, and we had added each other on Instagram after the shoot.
As you do.
Yeah, of course. And then a couple of years went by, and my previous relationship ended. So I started up with Tinder, again, as you do. And I matched with her cousin. And I'm about to go on a date with her cousin, and her cousin messages me and says, no, wait, I have a better match for you than me. And I'm like, that is a psychotic thing. I'm not going on a blind date matchup through Tinder. But she goes, no, don't worry. You know this person. And I thought, okay, like, this is not going to work out. And I was very hesitant. She sent me a picture of Alex. And that was actually one of the only people in the world I would actually consider going on kind of a blind date, even though we had met before.
Yeah.
So I messaged her back and I said, hell yeah. And then from our first date, it was kind of like, would you say right love on. At first belly top sighting?
It's pretty known. I almost strictly wear belly tops winter.
As
or
do
summer.
I, which was why the connection I thought was so strong.
Yeah, no, but we were pretty much exclusive right out of the gate.
What do you mean pretty much? What does that imply? Pretty much exclusive. I'm saying love at first sight, and you're saying you weren't really boning that many other men? What do you mean? No, what do you mean?
That's inappropriate.
No, but it was.
No, I was not, obviously. Mm-hmm. Love at first sight. And then the exclusivity
come
conversation.
To think of it, Lucy doesn't look all that much like me, does she?
They can be the judge.
Yeah, all right.
We fell in love.
Fell in love. We got engaged 7 months in.
We did. And then on our first anniversary, this is one of my favorite stories of our entire relationship. But on our first anniversary, we take trips in the summers to the East Coast. So we go to Halifax, spend some time in Nova Scotia. We go to PEI. And it was August 20th, which was our first anniversary. And we were at a small karaoke bar in PEI. And Shane was being a really sweet husband, really. And he got up on the mic and in a terrible Spanish accent, or some kind of accent, saying...
Well, my favorite karaoke song is Hero by Enrique Iglesias. Because there is a spoken word intro at some karaoke bars, mm-hmm. and it's like, what if I told you when I saw you I loved you? And it's very comedic, mm-hmm. so I thought I would do that and the crowd would find me amusing.
Of course.
But anyway, continue.
But he dedicated it during that spoken word intro to our first year anniversary. I start seeing little pieces of citrus getting tossed up or whipped, really, onto the stage.
The crowd was throwing things at me. Yeah.
They were throwing lemons and limes at Shane. Not the crowd. It was mainly coming from one table.
There were some frat boys there.
There was about a table about 20 frat boys. And so Shane is really lost in the song. He's giving it all he has. So I went over to the frat boys. I started a bit of a fight. I was going around knocking all of their ball caps off. And I believe at one point I threw a drink. Mm-hmm. And although I'm a pacifist, I believe I did backhand slap the main culprit.
It was pretty intense.
And then we left this bar so high off of this altercation that we conceived Lucy in one go.
We conceived her? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We did it, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we made Lucy that night.
You're so eloquent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, then 9 months later, Lucy was born, and that has been kind of the driving force behind everything we're doing now. So this is definitely a weirder podcast than I'm sure a lot of you were anticipating.
Certainly a long intro.
Well, no, the intro is a part of the story. It's a part of the draw.
I know that. I'm just saying it's long. There's no problem with that. I like it. It's not a...
It's the intro to something that may continue into something great. Mm-hmm.
I say we do this intro every episode. And so the people who know the episode, they'll know, okay, I'm just going to skip 20 minutes ahead. And the people who don't, they'll go along for the ride.
Hey, that's an idea.
What's next on the docket, Alex?
Next on the docket. So Shane and I want to prepare a few questions for each other as a surprise and kind of just...
Who's the surprise for?
No, the surprise is for each other. So,
oh, okay, because we don't know what the questions are. I
okay,
gotcha.
So yeah, earlier today, Shane and I prepared 10 questions for each other about either relationships, about parenting. I think that's what they're being kept to. He may have done something different. And we kind of just wanted to ask each other these questions in this open forum. And then after that, we are going to get to some calls. So we are going to call a few of you who left your phone numbers. I know we're calling somebody in Florida, we're calling London, and somebody else in Toronto as of now. I'll check after to see if more of you left some numbers. But Shane, how do you want to do this? Do you want to go?
I can go first.
Are you going to go all 10 or do you want to go back and forth?
We can go back and forth.
Let's go back and forth.
See, okay. Question number one. Did you always want to be a mom? It's kind of, I know I usually start with softballs, but I thought I'd really go for it here.
Yeah, no, I wanted to when I was young, mm-hmm. as I think most, sorry, I wanted to when I was young, as I think most girls do, and that's a societal thing.
Society.
But then with previous boyfriends, I decided I did not want to be a parent.
What were these guys doing to you?
It's a scary world. I mean, global warming. We have this idiot in charge in Ontario where we live.
So the previous boyfriends were always talking about global warming. You're like, you're right.
No, but it's a scary world, and
because I don't believe in global warming.
Oh,
and that's
shut
maybe
up.
What?
You're what are you like, Kyrie Irving, flat Earth?
No, I just think it's a hoax. Continue. Sorry.
Anyways, so it's a scary world,
I
did not feel confident with anybody to bring in a child. And then, clearly, this is the man I put all my confidence into.
Yeah.
But when we met, I wanted to have a kid with you when we
got
married.
Yeah, I'm good with kids, yeah.
Like, pretty much right away, I knew I wanted to have a child. But I didn't for years, and for every boyfriend prior to you, I thought that I would stay childless.
Well, I just want to say, blushing. Now ask your question.
Okay. So, first question. So when you're pregnant, you spend a lot of time discussing what your baby's going to be like. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of imagining, and I'm sure every single one of you can relate to that. You think, oh, is she going to look like you? Is she going to look like me? Is she going to be good at this? So is Lucy, now that she's 11 months old, what you imagined her to be? Does she exceed your expectations?
Oh, jeez.
Or does she fall short?
My goodness. Okay. Well, she's a little less hairy than I thought she'd be. For some reason, I thought, since I'm not balding that much, neither are you, I thought our child would have some hairs on its head. And then I thought maybe after a month it might have a little hair. I thought by now we'd have a little haircut. So she's a lot balder. But she is a lot more expressive than I thought she'd be. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a baby could stand up at 10 months old.
Right.
For some reason in my mind, I thought a baby could only stand when they're like two.
So
like
she's exceeding your expectations there.
Yeah, she's more active and...
Because she's falling short of my expectations in that regard. I thought she'd be walking already. Hmm. See, I was walking at 9 months.
Well, you were always on baby.com, and I didn't learn anything about babies
until
we had her, so...
No, but so my mom told me I was walking at 9 months. So I just assumed that she'd be a super athlete like me and, you know, get going earlier.
Right, okay. Question number two. there's an old saying, my grandpa actually always used to say this, every pregnancy is different. What was different about yours?
I touched on a little bit, but definitely having lupus made things more difficult. So, in the first trimester, I'd say, you know, there's some symptoms that everybody feels, whether it's nausea, you're getting sick, you are tired, things like that. Everything was, as I said, very exacerbated by the fact that I had lupus. And then I was experiencing symptoms that nobody experiences, like it's like the 0.01% of pregnant women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you remember when I was getting those mouth tumors?
Yes.
Okay, so I was getting these tumors in the first trimester that would just, it's really gross. They'd pop up in my mouth. Sorry. They'd pop up in my mouth and they'd get to be the size of like a big green grape, like a globe grape, I think they're called. And then it would make talking and eating and everything really difficult. And then after a couple days, it would just like, it would explode. And then it would slowly shrink as it was exploding. And that happened once at Randall's house at a party. And this mouth tumor was exploding and it was really awful.
Yeah.
So
that was a dinner party too, yeah.
So
which filled you up. So then
that's disgusting.
You still ate dessert.
But so things like that. And then in the second trimester, everybody kept telling me, oh, you know, you're going to feel great again. This is when you get energetic. But I never did find that energy. And I'd work all day. I'd come home from work. I'd nap for 3 hours, wake up when you came home, we'd eat dinner, and then I would be back to bed for the night. So things like that were really difficult. And then I had to go off work a month early because Lucy was sitting so low and I couldn't walk. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty difficult.
So she was sitting lower on the bod.
So you could feel her, actually.
Like if you went up there?
At like 8 months pregnant, she was sitting so low that...
You could feel her if you went up there?
Yes.
Wow.
You could feel her head.
Jeez.
Yeah. It was very, very surreal. I remember when I first felt her, when I noticed it, I was like, what's going on with me? And I called my doctor right away. I called Shane right away. I was really freaked out. But any other moms who have had that issue of their baby sitting so low and really couldn't walk, it's called lightning crotch. Mm. And you can't step forward without these shooting pains starting in your crotch and kind of expanding. And it's like, it was almost worse than labor because it lasted so long.
Wow. Yeah. Lightning crotch.
Lightning crotch.
Yeah, my old nickname in high school. Sorry, ask me a question now.
Ask you a question, okay.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to top the first one. That was an interesting question.
Thank you. I don't know if you're being serious or not. So, okay, what has been the most difficult thing about becoming a father or the biggest challenge that you've had to adjust to?
This is a hard one because I feel like I was really ready to become a dad. I had prepared I stopped drinking mm-hmm. for the duration of the pregnancy because I wanted us to be on the same page, mm-hmm. so I was kind of ready for that. And I didn't really go out too much before then either, so it was a lot easier, in fact, than I expected it to be, but I guess that's not the question. What was the hardest part about becoming a dad? Geez.
Superman, no hard parts.
No.
All smooth sailing.
It wasn't that hard. It was harder on you, I feel like. Mm-hmm. For me, it was pretty easy sailing. Geez, now I'm on the pressure. I know the answer. Because seeing the baby cry was hard. It would bring a tear to my eye to see her cry. And I didn't anticipate that because you think, oh, babies cry, big whoop, right? But it would break my heart every time Lucy would cry. Mm-hmm. I would start to tear up. And then eventually you get used to it. But yeah, it does. If she's upset over something legitimate, it does kind of. Like recently, she cut her finger. And that was very hard, like on both of us.
But what about when she was scared of that big ball?
Oh my God, I was crying that
night.
Yeah.
Explain, Shane scared the crap out of Lucy accidentally.
Yeah, we have a workout. We have a workout ball. You guys will probably notice I'm in very good shape. How did you get that way, Shane? Well, there's this ball that I do some ab crunches on. And when I brought it out, my daughter started freaking out. And so I thought it was kind of cute. So I started rolling the ball towards her. And she started crawling away very scared. And I was like, aw. And then I realized it actually terrified her to the core. And she was having nightmares all night. And then I just started bawling because I was essentially like torturing my daughter. And yeah, you don't do that to a baby. And I was just like in a wrong mode.
Well, we knew she was scared of balloons. But we didn't think that would go to all massive round objects.
Yeah. And I feel like I've given her like a complex or something, which I know probably isn't true, but I was really hard on myself.
Yeah, no, that was sad. And that in turn made me cry, which was just really depressing. So, okay, so seeing Lucy cry.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Give me number three.
Number three. What is someone wished... Wait, I can't read this. I'm a little drunk. What is something that you'd wish someone told you about the birthing process?
I wish... Somebody, and before I get into this, I want to note that, as I mentioned, we are not at home. We are in a studio, and there are four men that I do not know working the cameras, and then one man that I do know behind the scenes kind of keeping
things
going.
Well, there's three men on the camera. There's one audio person.
Right.
And JR is just staring at us.
But five men behind the scenes, none of whom have children. It makes these conversations a little weirder, but I wish somebody had told me about perineum massage. And now, gentlemen, if you ever do have children and your partner is pregnant, please be a good partner and help them out with their perineum massage because it is so important. So your perineum, do you know what that is, Shane?
It's in the vagina area.
You have one too.
Okay. It's between my balls and my butthole?
Yeah. So it's between either your balls and your butthole or your vagina.
Right in your butthole.
Yeah. So it's that area of skin. So I wish that I had known to massage that area and get it ready to push a baby's head out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do perineal massage, you can do it by yourself or you can do it with a partner. And you essentially just massage it every day. And it's supposed to hurt a little bit. And you just kind of prepare that area to stretch for the baby. So I did not do that because I did not know that was a thing. And I, again, weird with men in the room, I had quite a bad tear.
Mm.
And then had to get, as you know, a stitch.
Because that baby just popped right out of there.
Yeah.
I thought labor was going to be a very long process. But I was counting to like 12, and then it was just like, baby's here, and all of a sudden I'm holding a crying baby.
My hard labor was only 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. So because that was so short, she usually, if labor goes on for a long time, the baby is kind of getting your perineum ready for you and slowly stretching it out. But because that didn't happen with us, I did tear, and that was a long recovery process.
Because we were told we were only going to have a 4-pounder.
Yeah.
But we ended up having a 7-pounder.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think your bod was ready for that. Maybe you were mentally preparing for 4 pounds, and then it was like...
Yeah, it was pretty awful. So I do wish somebody told me about perineum massage, because I would have started doing that. And that is the one thing I recommend to every pregnant mom, especially if you're in your second or third trimester. Perineum massage, like crazy. Get on it, mm-hmm. because tearing is not fun, and the process, the road to recovery from that is really awful.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. Would you say the post-birth was worse than the birth itself?
100%. Mm. I had that conversation with somebody today, actually. So for me, early postpartum was worse than the labor and birthing process. Because once, you know, I got past the really bad pain, I had my epidural. Mm-hmm. You and I were, like, going to sleep. So I got an epidural. They're like, okay, you're not going to have your baby for, like, another 12 hours. Epidural slows it down. So we were going to sleep. I wasn't feeling anything. The doctor came in, like, 3 hours later for a routine checkup. Put his hand in and said, oh, Alexandra, you're having this baby right now. So then Shane bolted up, freaked out. I bolted up, freaked out, because a baby's coming out of me and I cannot feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And you ran, Shane runs into the washroom. You go, I got to pee.
I was nervous.
The washroom. That was hilarious. And then you came out 12 minutes later, like 4 contractions later.
I came out 12 minutes later? That was a long piss.
You came out, and then 12 minutes later, mm-hmm. 4 contractions later, I gave birth to Lucy.
Wow.
And then she was there.
Yeah.
But,
And they always say that when your kid comes out, it's going to look like a crazy little alien. It's going to be kind of ugly. But Lucy looked good when she came out.
She was really cute.
But then...
She got ugly.
Then she got really ugly. It was
weird.
She was
really ugly for 2 months. She looked like an 80-year-old little
we called
man.
Her, yeah, we called her Merv the accountant, because she looked like she should have like a cigar. But we screwed up because we were so proud of how good she looked instantly. We were Instagramming her, and
so
then
much.
We realized things were going
but
south
she,
a
but
little.
She was still very cute, like for 40% of the day, mm-hmm. and then the other 60% she was Merv the accountant. Pretty funny.
But the only reason we can openly talk about this is because she has gone back to being a cute baby.
She's adorable. Like, she's an adorable child now.
And that's what life is, you know. You're cute, then you're ugly, then you're
and
cute.
And even when you're ugly, you're cute. Like, when she was Merv the accountant, she was still the cutest thing we've ever seen.
I loved her all the same, I just want to say. Whose turn is it for a question?
Okay. So we're number 3. Oh, so this had to go with the question I gave you about what was the most difficult thing about becoming a father, or mm-hmm. the biggest adjustment you had to make.
Oh, this is part 2, did I?
Yes.
Okay.
So what is... the best thing about your newfound fatherhood?
The best thing is, see, I have bad social anxiety. So for me, the best thing is now I legit have an excuse to not go out to a party or a social event. Whereas before, everyone would make fun of me every time I made up an excuse to stay home. Now I legit have a real excuse. Yeah. And you know I'm not exaggerating here.
No.
That's something that really tortures me.
That was like the biggest trick. In our relationship, I thought Shane was a very outgoing person, because I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very extroverted. And because of our first few dates, you know, he was so open. He was so much fun. And just
when I'm drunk, I'm swinging off chandeliers and giving bartenders the finger. But,
and then little did I know, he's a hugely anxious introvert.
Yes.
Who hates doing things.
Yes.
So, and his public persona, he's always had a very public personality. You've been in like commercials and things like that for ages.
Yeah, sometimes it's easier to do stuff on camera than it is to like talk to someone around a water
cooler. And that's so weird though, because that's the water cooler is my forte.
Oh, you're good at that.
And
this, you're not
terrible.
Your forte.
No, absolutely not.
I'm kidding. You're doing very good.
Thank you, babe. But yeah, not my thing. So the easiest.
The best thing. Yeah. Honestly, it's the ultimate get out of jail free card. If you consider a party jail.
It really is. So, but for anything, work events.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. Be all and all. Okay, number four. And let's do a phone. Let's break it up with a phone call after this question. Yeah,
okay.
This is so loosey-goosey. What is the adjustment like going from zero babies to one baby?
The adjustment's huge. It's, I think, one baby. I don't know. Two babies has got to be hard. But
it's probably harder going from one baby to two baby.
I don't know, but you already have an idea. Like, I had never changed a diaper. Maybe for some women who grew up around babies who had younger siblings, friends with kids. I didn't have any friends with kids. I have no, like, my brother's younger than me, but I have no siblings or relatives that I took an active part in their infancy. Mm-hmm. So no baby to one baby was insane. It was a crazy learning curve. We changed our life around completely. And you just... Like, I had to learn how to change diaper. That was
Actually practiced on a baby, not on, like, this little girl. We had a Cabbage Patch doll. So we were so nervous. The week before Lucy was born, we were swaddling a Cabbage Patch
and
baby.
And changing diapers.
And a diaper. Which, it seems so easy to change a diaper.
It's
but
not,
if you've never done it, it's very
You don't
daunting.
Even know which way is the front, which way is the back. It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was helpful. So I do suggest diaper changing a doll. This doll is kind of cute.
It's very cute.
Yeah.
Okay, want to take a call? Okay, you give me that little sheet with the numbers on it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll call it. You don't want to say the numbers.
All right, no, we don't.
Okay, this will be kind of funny because I'll introduce myself and they'll be like, who's this man?
So I put it out on my Instagram today that we are going to have a call-in segment. By call-in, we mean we're going to call you no matter where you live in the world.
They get it.
First one. Who is this? I'm so nervous.
Hello? Oh, let's still call him. There we go. And if no one answers, we'll just cut.
Hello?
Hello, is this Melissa?
Yes.
Hi, this is Shane from This Family Tree.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Hi. This is Alex. Melissa, thank you so much for leaving your number.
Of course, no problem. I love following you guys on Instagram. It's the best.
Oh, you're the sweetest. All right, so what is your question?
Okay, so my son, Jameson, he just turned 5 months old today. So we're starting to get into, like, the sleep training, stuff like that. So I was just wondering, like, what tips worked best for you guys?
Okay, well, congrats on the 5-month birthday. Super exciting. It was... just from people saying, you know, do what works for you and for your kid. So I did have a sleep training expert that I called up frequently, Maggie Moore. She's been on my page a lot. I always reference her because she's great to talk to. But, like, I'd read online, people would say, you know, don't use white noise and things like that because then they're going to get addicted to it. But we use it constantly, and I don't even turn off the white noise machine in her room.
Okay.
So something like that helps, and being consistent. Consistency is so key. Are you going to do like any cry it out or anything like that?
Yeah, so we've kind of started just kind of during the day naps, tried him in his crib, putting him down drowsy but awake. But he just screams. I feel like if I let him scream for hours and hours, it's kind of hard to kind of pinpoint.
I know.
When you just give in, you know?
It's the worst. How long have you let him go before?
About an hour, but to me and my husband, we would take turns going in every 6 minutes or so. Every time he sees us, he'll stop crying right away. Then we calm him, leave, and then he'll start screaming again, and then so on. So about an hour we've left him so far.
Honestly, that's the hardest part, and consistency in that, because when we first started sleep training, it was so hard. And I'd have to turn off the monitor. I couldn't hear it. Like, you can't hear it. Like, I'd start crying. I'm like, am I doing the wrong thing? Am I doing the right thing? I don't know. But honestly, it's helped so much. And I can put Lucy in her crib totally awake. And if she takes like 15 minutes now, she won't even cry sometimes. Like, she'll just kind of play with her toy and then just put herself to bed.
Yeah.
But just stay with it. It's the worst. I feel so bad for you. That's like the worst stage.
I know. I'm just trying to like get over this hump where he kind of gets to the self-soothing stage and he can like deal with it. But yeah, right now it's really hard. So I was just wondering like if you have had any like special tips that worked for you. But we do use the white noise. I think that really helps him.
Mm-hmm. And a glass of wine for you when it's over.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right, so a little joke there at the end. Now, was that helpful at all, Melissa?
Yes, it was. Yes.
But stay consistent, honestly. Like, if you're not consistent, that's...
And just out of curiosity, where are you calling from?
Kitchener, Ontario, so really close to you guys.
Oh, wow. All right, well, thank you so much, because this is the first ever This Family Tree podcast.
Thank you so much for leaving your number, Melissa.
Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Can I get more wine?
Yeah.
Okay, you pass. I'm going to dial it. You pour this. This will be visually good for the people actually watching this. Year. So we're going to call Nicole now. 647 number.
Try.
I shouldn't say too much. Okay. Yeah, I believe this is a Toronto number. I like doing the disarming, like, hey,
take
this is a man on the phone here. Here, you hold this.
Be nice to Lucy.
Hello?
Hello, is this Nicole?
Yes.
Hi, this is Shane from This Family Tree.
Oh, hi.
Hi, we're doing our first ever podcast, This Family Tree podcast, and I just wanted to know, what is your question?
I'm here too, Nicole. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for leaving us your number.
You're welcome.
So,
sorry, go ahead.
No, so what's your question?
My question would be... Well, I have a daughter, and she's going to be actually 15 weeks this weekend.
Okay.
Whoa.
And I'm just wondering, she's coming up onto 4 months soon. So should I really be worried about the 4 month sleep regression?
Okay, so I think it hits different babies differently. So Lucy didn't really succumb that hard to the 4 month regression. The 6 month regression was the worst for us. And then there's like a million more. So,
okay.
Honestly, don't spend a lot of time worrying, because you'll find out really quick if it hits or not. But like for the 6 month one, which hit us the hardest, it was 2 weeks of hell and sleeplessness. Like it felt like we were back in the newborn phase. And then
I hated the newborn phase.
Yeah, no kidding. And but then I woke up one morning and it was over, and I hadn't even realized that it got better until it did. So honestly, just don't spend too much of your time worrying, because it might not even hit you. And if it does, don't change out of your routines at all. Stick to your routines like crazy, because the 4 month regression is really important, because that is when a baby's sleep changes for good, and it kind of shapes their sleep for the rest of their infancy. So just stick to your routines and stick to what you do. So if you're doing like a sleep program right now, I wouldn't veer away from that.
Okay, yeah, because she's actually a really good baby. We got lucky, my husband and I. Like, she slept through the night from, like, 2 months on.
Do you want to trade?
Yeah.
That's like, amazing.
She's, like, so good.
That's so good. Yeah,
so
well,
you... I'm like, oh, my God, I hear horror stories, and, like, you know.
Yeah, well, do you have that app, Wonder Weeks?
Yes,
I okay, have. Good. Because that was super helpful to me. In kind of lining up, so I found that that Lucy's kind of regressions happened not at the standard ones, but kind of lined up more with the ones on Wonder Weeks. So yeah, take a look at that, but good luck. Yeah don't worry about it too
right
much.
Right now she's like, it says she's coming on stormy period, so usually it doesn't really affect her sleep. She just kind of gets more cranky and more clingy and stuff like that.
Yeah no, that's same here, but honestly, don't worry about it too much, because you don't know if your baby will react to it. And then just stick to what you do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
You're welcome.
And just out of curiosity, Nicole, where... that's my new slogan. just out of curiosity, where are you calling from?
Toronto. I live in Toronto.
Oh. And do you know...
I've actually messaged you guys like a couple times. You probably don't even know.
No, I do. I try to get back to everything. Sometimes they slip.
Yeah, I don't know if you know where the Junction area is.
Oh,
I live in
Dundas
area.
Did Alex get back to you when you DM'd?
Yes, yeah, she's very good at that.
Oh, excellent. Well, I'm just testing. Okay, she just hit me. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we calling Christine?
Yes.
Okay.
What is a pod fan, I think, of yours.
Really?
I think she's
this could be a double
Becker. Christine
Whoa.
Becker.
Whoa.
Yeah. So this woman that Shane is calling is an implant. So she was following Shane's podcast, Mike on Much, and then she came over to my
We call them implants.
Tree. Is that
You called her an implant.
Isn't that what it is? Take somebody from there, put them on mine.
Transplant.
Yeah.
I like implants. That's going to be the quote.
Hello.
This is Shane from This Family Tree.
Hey.
Wait, is this Christine Becker?
Yeah.
You're a Mike on Mush fan.
Yes.
So you're an implant over from over to This Family Tree, eh?
Yes, and it's even worse because I don't have children.
I knew it.
All right. Thank you, Christine.
Well, what is the question for me or Alex?
It's kind of for both of you, actually.
Ooh.
So it's coming from the perspective of someone who doesn't have children. We have found that our friendships changed, and some of our friends sort of acted weird and kind of like we lost friendships when our friends became new parents.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how you guys are finding your friendships with your non-children friends. How do you feel about that?
I was going to ask Shane the exact same question, Christine.
Why?
That's a good one.
Yeah, why?
Well, because Shane has a lot of friends that do not have children yet. So I wanted to know if his friendships have remained the same. For me, the wives of Shane's friends, a lot of them are starting to have kids, but my friends do not. None of my friends have kids. So some of them don't really get it when I can't do things, and I find that they get kind of a little bit catty or like not, you know, I could tell that they're not happy when I can't do something. And they're kind of like, oh my God, you're being such a bummer. But it's hard because I'm exhausted constantly. And like, you can't turn off when you're a parent, right? Like you're working, especially when your baby is young. I'm all through the night. We woke up at 6. We usually wake up at 7. But that doesn't last because even once I put her to bed, I still have to go in there like twice a night. So I'm just exhausted. And when I have a second, like Shane works, so I don't get to see him that often. And I find that my other friends get to see their partners a lot more frequently. So to be honest, I like to chill. I like to stay at home and order pizza.
Yeah.
But I miss my friends like crazy, and then I find myself like getting jealous when they make plans without me and don't tell me.
Yeah.
So like it's a weird place to be in. So I just friendships.
You still want to be invited?
Yes, desperately. Like I really want to be invited.
And do you guys feel like now when you're thinking about friendships, you kind of want to hang out with people who have kids, that you're more drawn to that crowd compared to your friends where you might have done the same stuff that you did before you had kids?
For women, I can tell you that's likely the case. And not even because I think anything about my childless kids. It's from a point of being nervous about what they're going to think of me. And nervous about my baby like ruining the time or me ruining the time because I'm tired or something like that. So it's very much it's from a self-conscious standpoint. And it's not that I don't think they'll be able to understand me because I know my friends are the best and they're super understanding. But I'm like very self-conscious about the things that I've gone through.
So it's your insecurity?
Yes, 100%. For me, I don't. What about Shane?
Well, for me, a good prep, I guess, for having a baby and distancing myself from friends was moving back to Hamilton and having to commute to Toronto every day. So that is a 3-hour commute every day, like an hour and a half there, an hour and a half back. So I found just that alone. I had way less time for friends. And I just developed a thing that when I was hanging out with friends, I made it more quality time. So if I'm going out, I'm really going to go out and try to have a good time. Whereas before, I kind of just went out whenever, and it wasn't always the best time to go out. I would just go out on some idle Tuesday, and it might be a good time, it might not be. Now I try to go out on all the bigger events when everyone can make it out, and I find it hasn't really, like, you know, if you're really good friends with someone and you don't necessarily see them a lot, still nothing changes. Even if a year goes by, you kind of just, you get back into the same rhythms you always had, if you're close friends. It does hurt more with kind of more casual friends, because they're going to just stop being your friends. But I'm more of a lifelong friend guy, more than like an extroverted, like I'm buddies with everyone type person.
Yeah. Do you find it's easier if your friends make plans like really far in advance, and like instead of saying like, "Hey, in 2 days you want to go out and do this," or how about like in 2 weeks?
Oh, absolutely. But here's the first thing you learn with friends like that: the friends who don't have kids, they'll do that. They'll cancel on you. That's the first thing you learn. And you'll like mark it on your calendar. You'll be counting down the days. You'll have the babysitter.
You'll spend $200 getting groceries to make them dinner.
Hypothetically speaking. Yeah. So that did happen. Like, we had a friend who said, "Oh, in a couple of weeks, let's have a dinner get together." So Alex went out, bought all this food preparation materials. What's that called? I guess it's just called food. Groceries. Yeah.
Groceries.
Yeah. She bought groceries, and then the people, of course, canceled. And those people actually, and even had kids, not to name names, but Sean Dawson, Chelsea Dawson, come on, what are you doing?
Okay.
And
in theory, if your friends show up, it is more helpful to like plan in advance.
Plan in advance and don't cancel.
Care if your friends have kids or not.
Yes.
No. Yeah. Everyone's dying to go out.
Cool.
And side question, what did you think of the new Mic on Much format release?
Get out of here.
No, because she tweeted that she liked it.
I did. Totally.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
I actually genuinely loved it. It totally made my week.
Good. See?
Yeah.
Fine.
We're good podcasters. All right, thank you very much.
Bye, Christine. Thank you.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Man, you're really a territorial over Family Tree, eh? Jeez. Okay, let's call Anna now. All right, this could be a Florida resident.
You might incur some big charges here.
No, it's a work phone. Okay. Do we swear on this pod?
Let's try not to.
Okay.
Well, we can beep, right? Can we beep things?
Yeah, beep, beep. If we get a machine, let's still leave a message.
Okay. I thought I heard a voice. That's pretty.
Yeah, sometimes you hear a little.
See, this is bedtime for a lot of babies and kids, young kids.
We're calling a grown woman, though, right? How far is your reach?
Please leave your message for...
We'll edit that part out. Hello, this is Shane from This Family Tree, and I am here with the main tree meister herself. That's right, I'm talking about Alex.
Hi, Anna.
Alex Cunningham. Her name used to be Lamparsky, but I married her, and she changed her name. So I'm not sure what the question was, but if you had to give any general parenting advice, what would that be?
Just keep it up, Anna. You're doing a great job.
So just keep up the good job, because sometimes it's the person who even is asking the question is actually a better parent. Like, I remember when I was buying a book about parenting, and my friend said to me, "Shane, you don't even need the book, because merely the fact that you want a parenting book
makes you a good parent.
Makes you the type of parent that's going to end up being all right." So, Anna, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right.
Take care, Anna.
And I don't know area codes, but I think you're from Florida, and in which case you're already winning, because I hear the weather over there is pretty good. Okay. Now, do you have a... I guess we're out of...
I had one more.
Okay.
Somebody just left a thing. Okay,
let's
you ready?
Hear the thing, yeah.
You ready for the number?
Oh, we're calling.
I don't know where this person's from yet.
Okay, well, just let me look, because we can't be saying these.
So this person is Amanda, and this is the last one.
A man.
Hello?
Hi, Amanda. This is Shane from This Family Tree, and this is our first ever podcast episode. What is your question?
Hi.
Hi, Amanda.
I have a question. How did you guys keep your relationship so strong during the first couple of months of not being able to sleep and just trying to learn your baby?
It's definitely hard, but I think if you're planning on having kids, your baby sounds adorable in the background, by the way. but I think, you know, you're both on the same page. You both know what's coming. And you just have to anticipate that things aren't going to be what they were. And I think, like, personally, like, I went through postpartum anxiety. So that.
Yeah, I have that right now.
Okay, yeah. And it makes things really hard. And honestly, Shane was, he's a very empathetic partner, but even through all of his empathy, he did not completely understand what I was going through. And I think it's incredibly hard for your partner to do that, even if they're trying really hard to understand.
Like, how did I not understand?
I just found that I was having a hard time, as you know, like I have a hard time explaining things. But I was, I was having a hard time explaining, what exactly I was feeling, in certain moments. And like, you get it, like our mood goes up and down and we get upset over the smallest things. And
now you admit it.
Get out of here. No, but there's so many reasons for it. And it may seem trivial, but it doesn't feel that way. And it's not trivial. And I think for me, it was hard to explain those things to Shane. So I felt like he wasn't understanding, even when he was really trying to.
Yeah.
But communication, an honest communication. And if you're not a good communicator, you really have to try to be, because it's not a time to keep things in. And I will say that from experience, because I'm not a good communicator.
Yeah.
And then as it goes on, there's different challenges that you'll face. You know, you'll get over the sleepless nights and being tired eventually. So I just think it's about being honest and being really patient with each other. And I don't know if your partner's there, but I would just tell him to just take it real easy on you. And just...
He was like, I can't believe you're doing this. And I was like, hey, I follow her on Instagram. She has really good information.
You know, you're the sweetest. I really appreciate you leaving your number. But yeah, no, I just say patience with each other, because even as the hormonal new mother, we can lose our patience really quickly.
Yeah.
But just try really hard to communicate, even if that's difficult. And Shane's going to add.
Sure.
Oh, I thought that was you for a second. Like, huh? No, but what I would say is, we said at the beginning that just we were going to try to avoid the old fight of who does more work, because there's always that like hack fight that every couple gets into, where if the man's making all the money and the woman's doing everything at home looking after the child, there's always some weird debate on who's doing more or who's like, I guess contributing more, carrying their weight more. And we tried to avoid that like the plague. That being said, we still did fall into that trap and have those same arguments. So it's I think the less you can have those arguments and just appreciate that everyone's contributing in a different way and just trying to be as empathetic as possible, you're going to be way more ahead of the game if you try to prepare for that argument.
Okay.
And have you...
We struggle with that because I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have a 3-year-old, and then we have our 6-month-old. But the first time around was a lot different, and I feel like adding a second baby, we are just more like at each other's throats.
Yeah.
I can
imagine.
Not wanting to like throw something at his head sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Just keep in mind, everyone thinks that they're doing more than the other person, even if you intellectually know that's not true. You emotionally. You're only around yourself, so you know all the work you're putting in, and you might not always be expressing that to your partner because you don't want to bore them to death. But yeah, everyone's working equally as hard, and it's it takes a village, as they say.
That's the perfect way to put it. I think that's so perfect.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah, definitely does.
Alex just stuck her tongue down my throat, by the way. But it's a bit of a comedy show too. And I hope this was helpful.
Definitely, and I thank you guys so much for doing this, and I hope you guys are going to do this again in the future.
100%.
Oh, yeah. And where are you calling from?
I'm in New Hampshire.
Whoa, is that in America?
Yeah.
We made it.
I'm about 6 hours from New York City.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. How far are we away from New York City?
Seven.
Okay.
Well, thank
you. You're 7 hours?
Yeah, we're 7 hours.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, a little bit of a drive.
You can say that again.
Amanda, thank you so much for leaving us your phone number and taking our call.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
That was so nice.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I love that.
Yeah, I thought I really gave good advice there.
That was so perfect.
Yeah.
Because I think we could both argue right now about And like Shane said, this has happened, but who's doing more work?
I hate that argument.
I know, it's the worst. And everybody does fall into it. It's like the thing from the 50s. Yeah. I thought that was so perfect. I'm very impressed, actually.
Excellent. So I think we have about 5 minutes, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's end. We have a couple more questions.
Do you want to do one list? Do you want to do one question?
Well, let's see how it goes. If they're yes or no or true or false questions, they could be quick. You hit me with yours.
Okay. Do you miss anything about pre-baby life?
Pre-baby life. Sometimes I do miss the drinking. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like I was saying, I am a anxious person. So sometimes... what relieves anxiety better than a few brewskis with the fellas?
That's why we opened a bottle of wine tonight.
Yeah. So I do miss going out with my close friends on more frequency. But like I was telling, I believe, one of the other callers, I just try to make the time out more quality time and make it matter. Like make it a night where it's like an 80% chance it's going to be a good night rather than I used to go out on maybe like 10 to 20% chance it was going to be a good night.
Yeah. That's good.
Oh, now it's time to ask you a question. Okay, you know how everyone's talking about when they have a kid, how things have gotten harder?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, has anything gotten easier since you had Lucy?
I'm a very disorganized person. I don't have things together. I'm really bad with time management.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And I would say that since having Lucy, those things have gotten easier just because I have no time to do things. So I've gotten better at managing my time and prioritizing important things that need to be done in my life with the blog, around the house, things like that.
And it's very hard. I just want to interject that we are both very bad with that. We are both very disorganized. Yeah. I'm gone 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. So to have two people in a household like that is a real double whammy.
Yeah.
And you've really, pulled up the cleats, as they say, and really made our house a wonderful home.
Thank you. I know.
You're welcome.
I know I
it's
have.
True, though.
I've definitely gotten better at that because that was a huge struggle for me my entire life.
Hit me.
Okay. Have you made any changes in your outlook and approach to life?
Outlook and approach to life? I guess, yeah, life is kind of more exciting when you have a baby because you get to relive things you did when you were a child.
Yeah.
Like, I like watching Sesame Street, so it's kind of fun to learn and explore and see things through the lens of a child and go on little day trips. And you know, we went to Niagara Falls recently, and we went to all the places I went.
Oh, we were so touristy. It was so much fun.
And it's like a huge excuse just to do the same things you did because Lucy's never going to remember it. But it's like, I will.
And the nice thing is we can do it again with her. So we can like redo these little things too for our sake.
Sorry, what was the question? I'm not even sure if I'm answering it. I just went off on a thing.
Have you made any changes in your outlook or approach to life?
Yeah, I guess I'm more childlike now. For sure, I'm always kind of childlike, but now I'm really embracing it and I have a good excuse to embrace it.
I think you're less doom and gloomy. Not that you ever were, but I think you had the ability to sometimes get a little bit gloomy.
Yeah.
And now I'm finding that less with you. It's less like end of the world for some situations.
End of the world. Jeez. Yeah, but I will notice like if we are having an argument and you're holding the baby, like if like quietly, like we're never yelling at each other, but if I'm like, F you, I'm out of here. And then I see Lucy, I'm like, oh, hi. And then,
I'm out of here.
Yeah, you know, just hypothetically. But then when I see Lou, she'll just brighten up. Like you can't be mad when you make eye contact with your little baby.
No, it's the cutest thing ever.
Yeah, so definitely like I am a cheerier disposition, I would say.
I think so too.
Is it my question now?
Yeah.
Okay, I hope this one's good. My questions I don't think have been that good.
Yeah, they've been good.
Okay, your maternity leave is almost over.
Yes.
How are you preparing for life back at work?
I'm not yet. I have done nothing to prepare for my life back at work yet. Because I don't want to admit that that's coming, which is in total.
Because you got kind of mad at me the other day.
I'd get mad at you again for it. Shane, I told Shane, I said, you know, I go back to work soon, so I want to use this time to do really fun things with Lucy and play, like hang out around the house. Because I do a lot of chores in my day-to-day. And he goes, well, you should be using this time to really, you know, get things in motion for when you're back at work. And yes, that is logically sound, and that is very rational, and I should.
Yeah.
But at the same time, F you for wanting to take away time with my daughter even sooner.
No, what did you say to me, though? You walked out of the bathroom, and then you looked at me, and you said in kind of like a, like, super, like, angry but trying to pretend you're being kind way, you were like, I'm going to hang out with my daughter as much as I can. Is that okay with you? And I was like, yes.
Well, I'm going to do both because I do need time with her before I go back to work, and you are right, I should rationally get things in order.
Yeah,
so that
I do think it's good to
on.
Get in a routine for when you do go back to work, because although it seems hard now, like she's on maternity leave, we have a child, this is still very new to us, this is the easiest it's ever going to be for us right now. We have one child, she's on maternity leave, and
we're
I'm
young,
working.
Energetic, like all of those things.
Now ask me a question.
Do we have time?
Sure. Jer, how much we got?
It's your podcast.
Okay, let's let's ask one question more each.
Okay. Cool. And then we'll sign up. Sounds good. Okay. Okay, well, I have one actual question, then one really quick one. So, my last actual question. From your perspective, have I changed since becoming pregnant, becoming a mom? Yeah.
Well, I don't like using the term party animal lightly. But you are a bit of a party animal.
Yeah.
Like, you have a very sweet disposition. You seem very kind.
I am kind.
You are very kind. You're right. I should say you are very kind. And you seem it, too, though. You just
Thank you.
Give off that aura.
I think.
But a couple times I'd go out with you partying, and you would be swinging off a chandelier, like, pushing guys. Like, we got in that fight. You're slapping
people. The first time in my life. I've never been, like I said, I am a pacifist.
But you're more of a wild child than I think anyone would ever imagine.
Yes.
And since the whole pregnancy, like, you stopped drinking almost entirely since we, I'm kidding, you stopped drinking, of course, entirely. And your weed and cocaine addiction.
Oh, God.
No, I'm kidding. Obviously, you're completely,
I've never done that.
You went completely sober for the entire pregnancy. And I haven't really seen you go full Alex mode as the people at the bars
call. We all grew up.
Yeah, you've totally grown up, and I haven't seen you be really that wild child that I was kind of worried about, like, oh, geez, is this ever going to end?
Well, you're still growing out of that phase. Like,
are you kidding me?
By the time we had our baby, but when I was being wild childy,
I'm never going to stop being a wild child.
Ask your question.
What has been the biggest challenge within our marriage post-baby? Besides my drinking problem.
No, probably intimacy.
Intimate, like, is that code for sex?
Yeah. Making
what?
Time.
It went from three times a day to two. Ooh.
So, no.
Women.
And I think most postpartum couples can absolutely relate to that. So, for us, what we did, we decided that we were going to strive for a certain amount of times in a row. So our
in a row, not in a row in a night, but days.
We decided to strive for intimacy 7 days in a row.
Yeah.
Which we have not come anywhere close to doing, but it's in your trying.
We went one for one that one week.
But it's in that trying to do it, you're automatically having more intimate times. And you're actively making that time for each other, making that time for you to be a couple. So even if you don't make it 7 days in a row, you're still maybe making it 2 days in a row. And then a few days later, another
you're
one
You're stealing
day.
The speech I gave you when you got
yeah,
mad at me.
Yeah, but it works. But it's a great way to look at it. And I think it's a great solution to the problem because so many women are asking me, oh, my husband and I don't make time for each other anymore. And I think that this is the best solution.
Yeah, it seems less romantic to make time. But if you're waiting for the right time, there's never the right time.
No, never. You're always tired. You'd always rather sleep. Things like there's always something getting... there's always something getting in the way. But when you start making time, it does seem like less of a chore.
Well, babe, this really is taking the romance out of it.
No, it's fun. Okay. I like having sex with you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Again, blushing. So... I guess I know what we're doing after this recording.
All right. So now we had one question each, which we asked.
Yeah.
So now my mini question is, so we are planning on trying for another baby soonish in the next few months.
Yeah. Well.
Are you going to be sober with me for baby number two? Because you were sober with me for baby number one, and I really appreciated that. I thought we were a team, and when we'd go to parties, we were both there kind of together experiencing the party from a different point of view.
Yeah. more hellish experience at a party when you're sober.
Get out of here. You liked it.
Yeah.
But are you going to be sober with me for baby number two?
Well, I say yes. I just want the viewers to know I will be sober with you. Unless it's like a bachelor party.
Okay, so you do have a bachelor party coming up in the summer. So that bachelor weekend being an exception.
Mm-hmm.
Sober for
But if another bachelor party comes up, what am I to do? You know, I'm still Shane Cunningham.
One bachelor party exemption a year.
Okay, well, here's the thing. It's got to be on my terms. It's not very cool if it's not on my terms, right?
Well, I hate bachelor parties anyways.
I know you hate them, but I love them. It's weird. It's a weird yin-yang thing we have going on.
But anyways, day-to-day, regular parties, everything like that, as it was.
As we are, I don't party.
No, I know.
All right. Well, the intro was a little rough, but I think we got a lot better as it went on. Could be the wine. I don't know. But
guys, thank you so much for putting up with us. And I really appreciate you tuning in. Sorry that this was so rough. I know it'll get better. Stick along. Stick along?
That's an expression. Stick along.
So continue hanging out with us. We really had a good time, and I hope you will too. Do you want to say anything?
I love you, honey.
Yeah, I love you too.
All right, cut.